The number of known silicosis cases in Australia is rapidly climbing, and the upward trend is expected to continue. An estimated 350 people are currently being treated for the often fatal lung disease, around 100 more than the last estimate in September. Thousands of workers have inhaled dangerous quantities of silica, installing engineered stone kitchen benchtops over the last decade. The latest silicosis figures come from a leading dust diseases clinician, Dr. Graeme Edwards, from the College of Physicians, who I spoke to earlier this week.
There's no formal collation of the numbers. From the combination of the formal advice that I'm aware of and the informal numbers, there are currently over 350 people in Australia suffering from this condition.
Is that a significant revision up from what we already knew?
Absolutely. Now, previously, we were able to report on what's happening in Queensland, what's happening in Victoria, what's happening in Western Australia, what's happening in New South Wales. One of the advantages that I have is being able to collect the information that is coming to me from a variety of sources and put those numbers together. And that's where this number of 350 comes from. So in different jurisdictions, we have different state of play in terms of case finding activity and the reporting processes and case identification. And so there's no formal structure as yet to collate all these numbers so we know the true magnitude of the problem in Australia.
Can we put that 350 figure, although it is a rough one, as you say, in perspective at all in terms of prevalence? Do we know anything about how common the disease is among people who've been exposed?
We're forming a clearer picture as we know more and more. We are getting a much clearer picture. From the first 35 that I saw in my clinic, we were thinking of the order of one in three persons who were exposed for more than 3 years would develop the disease, so 30%. Now that we've got bigger numbers, that figure is somewhere around 20 to 25%. So between one in four and one in five people who have had extended exposure, so more than 3 years, they are at risk of developing silicosis.
And how does that compare to, say, exposure to asbestos? It seems like a very high proportion of people who are exposed for really not a very long time over the course of their career to be developing an incurable disease.
It's crudely of the order of 5 to 6 times more potent a problem. So a crude figure in the asbestos domain, if you've had exposure, then you're looking at around the 6% mark. There's discussion as to what that figure actually looks like, but from a working process, I use 6% as my guiding indicator. So 6 out of 100 people with exposure will go on and develop asbestos-related diseases.
Okay, so there's vanishing doubt, if any doubt at all left, about exactly how harmful this product is. But the industry is continuing to do its work in a fairly uninhibited way. How do you account for that gulf?
Well, there's two parts to that situation. The first of all, in the formed state of a slab of stone, the product called silica is safe. I use the analogy, a quartz crystal. The larger the crystal, the more beautiful it looks. But the smaller the crystal becomes, the more harmful it becomes. And so when we're getting down to the micrometer size dust particle that is getting into the lung, it's lethal. If the quartz that's in our natural rock, that's in the engineered stone, is treated with the respect it deserves, and we don't take the shortcuts, then it is a safe product. Right now, there is law that prohibits the unsafe work practices that, unfortunately, we are still seeing in Australia today. So it's not the absence of a law to say this product can't be used in this way. It is the failings of various parts of the system to apply the law that already exists. The problem that we've got is in the early days, the regulator was slow off the mark to police the law. The problem that we now have is people who were exposed 3, 5, 7, 10 years ago are unknowingly going to develop the disease in the next 3, 5, 10 years. So the nature of this epidemic, we're not going to see the peak of it for a number of years to come because of the past exposure. And it doesn't matter what we do today, we're still going to see more people suffering tomorrow and the next day.
Has regulation caught up since enforcement was lax in the way that you describe at the beginning?
The short answer is it's in process. Safe Work Australia stakeholders are developing a code of practice to be applied across Australia, but that won't be enacted until late in 2020 at the earliest, because of due process. So in the meantime, we have stories coming to my desk of operators in Queensland who are required to act within the code of practice, moving their activities across the border into New South Wales because they don't have a code of practice there. So even though the activity of the regulator in New South Wales has dramatically increased and they're actually actively policing their current legislation, we're still seeing this movement from one jurisdiction in Australia to another, which is perpetuating the problem.
Yeah, and when you hear about that, I mean, that's quite troubling.
Those people will get caught. Now, fortunately, it's not the common. Most of the fabricating businesses that I have anything at all to do with just want to do the right thing for their workers.
Is there any prospect of an outright ban in Australia?
I can't answer that. The complexities of an outright ban are very significant. Whether or not we have enough evidence and a process that would support an outright ban, I don't know.
So it's unlikely that we'd see one in the near future, or if at all, from what you're saying?
From what I currently know, with all the different hats that I wear, I think it's going to be unlikely.
And on the government side, because there has been a task force looking at the problem, where is that up to?
Last week, as a member of the task force, we finalised our interim report to the Honourable Greg Hunt, the Federal Minister for Health. So that report, as our interim report, has been delivered to the Minister and we await his response.
Dr. Graham Edwards, a leading dust diseases clinician and the national spokesman for the College of Physicians. And the Health Minister, Greg Hunt, has issued a statement to PM saying the publication of the advice from the task force will be a matter for the government.